Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Winning Post Racing Podcast for the weekend of March 26th. The long weekend, of course, celebrating Easter, and we've got a big action-packed podcast to get through, kicking off with action from Moonee Valley tonight. Of course, we're recording this on Thursday morning with Winning Post done and dusted and in your newsagents as we speak, so go out and grab it. We've got form for Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday Sandown meeting plus fields for the big meeting on Monday at Oakbank and also at Warwick Farm. But as I said, we're going to kick off with Group 1 action at Moonee Valley on Thursday night, and I speak of the William Reid Stakes, holding Group 1 status over 1200 metres, and last year's winner Lucky Hustler is back to defend his crown. And Carl Diorio, my Winning Post colleague, is here to analyse all the action. Carl, can Lucky Hustler go back to back?
I think he can. He draws perfectly in Barrier 5. He's come back in good order this campaign. It was a really nice win at the Magic Millions Cup. He overcame a wide barrier, and he was just too good. And then last time, just narrowly beaten by Suave, though horribly unlucky, and probably should have won that as well. From Barrier 5, just needs an ounce of luck, and he'll probably win again. I think King likes the danger, number 12. And then I think the quarterback has to be considered. He'll get back, perhaps unsuited by the Moonee Valley track, but he's obviously ticking over nicely. And Japonas May as well. Draws wide, will press forward, just needs a touch of luck to slot in. I've gone 1, 12, 3 and 9.
Yeah, I've gone Lucky Hustler to win. Haven't seen him at 1200 for a while, but he's got a really good record at the distance and at the Valley, and I think he'll be very, very hard to beat. I thought Fast and Rocking, if you're looking to have a play on something and a bit of odds, I liked him in the Oakley Plate. He was a little bit disappointing, but I didn't think he was too bad. And the Oakley Plate form's holding up really well. Quarterback's come out of it, won at Newmarket. Griante, Reldas, the thing of Matty Dales, Fell Swoop, all come out of it and run well. So, and he wasn't far from, he was alongside Griante in that race. So I think he can run well. For third, I went for Holler. He's just going to put himself in the right spot. And two, Flamberge, also coming out of the Oakley Plate. His 1200 metre record is good. He's probably been better over shorter trips in recent times, but he's just going to get a lovely run just behind the speed. So I went 1, 4, 10 and 2. Other black type action at the Valley includes the Alexandra Stakes, race 4 for the 3-year-old fillies. And my best bet of the night came up here, and I was pretty keen on number 2, Jackie's Joy. I thought she was pretty good first up, coming from the back behind Batter Weir, ran into a bit of trouble, should have finished a bit closer. She can settle closer from barrier 2. And up to the mile really suits. I put her ahead of number 4, Lazumba, who's come back really well. 8, Thames Court, and 4. I threw in 3, Bengal Cat. Might be able to improve. Did run a decent race on Cox Plate Day at this venue. Carl, what were your thoughts on that race?
Similar numbers. I've gone with Jackie's Joy as well. I was keen after the CUNY run. Stable's firing, going really well. She started her career in New Zealand, this filly, and she won her first 3 Australian starts before that luckless CUNY run. She finished 7th, probably finished, should have finished somewhere near 4th place. So I thought that run was good. I've got her ahead of Thames Court, well-bred, consistent, honest performer. Draws wide, just needs to slot in somewhere, but should be in the finish. Lazumba's come back well this time in, and Daniela Rosa, I didn't think was all that bad last time the CUNY. Did have an okay run in Tranton, perhaps. Should have done a little bit better, but slightly weaker here. Perhaps a more forgiving surface. And there was a bit of market support for Daniela Rosa in the CUNY, so an improved performance wouldn't entirely shock. I've gone 2, 8, 4 and 10.
And race 7 is the other features of the Group 2 Sunline Stakes for the mares at Weight for Age, and Fenway I'm with. I don't think I'll be, well, I probably won't be having a bet in the race, to be honest, but I'm with her on top. Just hopefully, look, there looks to be a bit of pace in the race. Hopefully the field breaks up a little bit and she's able to slot in from that awkward gate. That makes it a bit tricky, but certainly her form against the males just reads too well. I had her ahead of 4, Noble Protector, who look, she was in the betting first up, but obviously just reared at the gates and lost the jockey. So if you're with her that day, you've certainly got to be forgiving and be with her again. Obviously, it's a little question mark where she is just at, obviously off her disappointing spring. But she's in the mix for third. I put number 9, Felicity Ann, who won very well at Flemington, and 3, well, Whale for fourth. Going to get a lovely run.
Tricky race. I'd want to be betting away from Fenway, but then it's a matter of who's going to beat Fenway. So I'd be laying Fenway just from that wide barrier, because I don't think she's a betting proposition at her price. I would settle on either I've got Metaphorical on top, who I thought was good in the Matrion Stakes, had every chance, was off a fresh and a couple of months out between runs, and found the line nicely behind Fellow San. No excuses, but just will be fitter and isn't all that badly treated at the weight for age conditions of this race. So I've got it ahead of Three Will Whale, who will get every chance from barrier one. Did improve with the blinkers on last time. Third number two, Miss Rose DeLargo, who perhaps was just pestered by that riderless Noble Protector last time in the Matrion Stakes. And then for fourth, number one, Fenway. I guess Noble Protector could improve, or could improve with a rider aboard this time. And there's others down the order, like Holly Cow and Nafra. Digger Pony might even be competitive. There's a little bit of depth to this race, and I don't think Fenway should be as short as it is.
All right. Did we have a best and a value at Moonee Valley? Anything else you're really keen on? I made my best, Jackie's Joy, and value bet. If I was looking for a value bet, whilst I haven't tipped him to win, maybe something on Fast and Rocking in the William Reid.
Well, I think the world's seen Shardell, but I'm certainly not keen about Barrier 12 over 9.55. So, yeah, it's flying on the track, but no, wouldn't make it a best. I'll make Jackie's Joy my best, and probably a value bet is in the last race, race 8, number 8, Buckler. From the inside barrier, a horse going places, and I think from barrier 1 should be afforded every opportunity.
And just before we leave Thursday's action, we do have the list of Gosford Guineas on today. I should have checked the scratchings before I came in here. Carl, you do have your phone with you, mm-hmm. So we're moving on the run a little bit here. But look, King's Troop, I thought, would be an improver. He hasn't had much go right this time in. He bombed the start up on the Gold Coast in the Magic Moon Sprint, had no hope, and then ran into a bit of trouble last start in the race won by Redzel. I thought he might be able to run a race at odds. One Del Cielo, $34, I thought, was crazy odds. They've brought him back to 1,200 with blinkers on in the past. They did that in the Coolmore. He wasn't all that far away from Japanisma, so he could be an improver. Two Redzel in for third, and I put five Chetwood in for fourth. I didn't have any scratchings among them.
No, just Lady Zhivago scratched.
All right. Did you have anything to add on that race?
No, I'm just looking at for Powerline in the Provincial Championship qualifier, which is race 7.
Yeah, he looks well placed. His rating is miles above all the others.
And I remember he contested last year's Provincial Championship final, and he acquitted himself quite well. And he can win his spot into the field. And the Guineas looks a bit of an even race. Kimberly Star might be a bit of an improver. $7, barrier 5. Kimberly Star, you know, maybe over a touch further might be a little bit better. But I'd be between the 7 Kimberly Star and 12 to be sure.
All right, moving on to Saturday. We obviously, all eyes will be on the action up in Sydney at Rose Hill, where we have two Group 1s and 8 Black Type races. We will take you through the entire Black Type action. And the first of those races is Race 2, and this is for the two-year-olds, the Schweppervescence, the Bayou, I think it's formerly known as, over 1,400. That looks a real raffle. I went for 11, Archie Barber, who I was surprised to see at around $21. I thought his first start at Sandown was pretty good. He was flying line okay behind Revolving Door and Seabird, which form has worked out pretty well. So I had him on top from 13 McQueen, 8 Reinforced, and 9 Taj Mahal.
Well, this is a great planning on my behalf, because I've plucked out the best bets and looking for my selections in the book, and they've been omitted by accident. So I'm going on the run here. I'm pretty sure I put Archie Barber on top as well, number 11, for the same reasons you outlined. Thanks, Joel.
I have my winning post on me.
Yes, that's what you should be buying here at the Winning Post podcast. Number 11, Archie Barber on top for the same reasons you outlined. It was unlucky. It got held up. It hit the line strongly and is well and truly over, as that quote. It's from Two Attention, who's the brother of Flamboyant Lass, ran on well behind an all-the-way winner on debut, and then trolled well twice and got too far back last time in the Pago Pago. Third number one, Prized Icon, who's been placed behind some handy sorts of, in the past. And for fourth, number 12, Obscura. I've gone 11, 2, 1 and 12.
Race 3 is the Neville Selwood over 2,000 metres. This is the Group 3 race, and look, hasn't been one of my horses in the past, but Entirely Platinum, I'm stepping in on Saturday. I think he'll be really hard to beat. I think 10 of his last 14 runs have been at Group 1 level. He's been to 2,000 metres and run decent races in a Turnbull and an Australian Cup. I thought he'd been going along okay this prep. He had two runs at the Group 1 at 1400, and then last time out in the fastly run Blaney, I thought he was still sticking on well towards the finish. The United States came out of that race to win last week's Randbet. Yeah, I think he's going to be really, really hard to beat. I think we can step into him on Saturday to beat 2 It's Somewhat, who's come up pretty short, but certainly hard to beat. 4 Gardini, and 6 Sir John Hawkwood.
I've gone with It Somewhat. Just think he's the one to beat. He's really racing well this campaign. And I just had to settle on him a bit by default because I didn't think the opposition were too strong in behind. Guardini, number 4, really nice run, the Blamey. Will strip feather for that run. His condition just gave out on him at the 250-metre mark, but looking for him to run well with a view to possibly backing him next time around. Centre Pivot's been racing well in slightly stronger company. And fourth, number 10, Take Wing, who'll get back and be hitting the line nicely.
Race 4 is the Tab Star Kingdom Stakes. This is a Group 3 for the sprinters, and a good race here. We've got a smart Victorian who missed a run in last week's Galaxy. I'd speak of Malik Weir up against Alberto Magic, who keeps racking up the wins. It's a really good clash. I've gone for 2 Malik Weir. I think he's going to go to another level again this prep, by judging by his first up win. I actually slotted Backman in for second. I liked him first up, and he ran really well. 1200, he might just be looking for a bit further now, but he's in for second. Alberto Magic for third. I thought Decision Time out to 1200 might be able to improve at odds, but 2, 6, 3, 4 for me.
I've gone with Malik Weir. Probably not too keen on the price, but he's racing really well, as evidenced by his first up win over 1,000 metres, which is, I guess, he can consider to be short of his best distance. I've got him ahead of number 6, Backman, who may have the task against him in this race, getting so far back from a wide barrier behind some classy sprinters and giving him a start and running past them. But he's just racing so well since being gelded, and his last start effort behind Alberto Magic was sensational. So he's got to be considered. For third, I've put in number 3, Alberto Magic. He'll get every chance from barrier 2, probably trailing in behind Angel's Beach as he did last time. And for fourth, number 1, Target Insight, who's a capable first up performer. Going with 2, 6, 3, and 1.
Race 5 is the Tullock Stakes. This is Group 2 over 2,000 metres for 3-year-old colts and geldings, giving horses the last throw at the dice to build their case for next week's Derby and to clash with Tarzino. I went for 7 Old North. I thought he was the run of the Farlap Stakes and could turn the tables on a couple of finish in front of him, namely Hattori Hanzo and Man of Choice. For second, I went for Torgerson, who I was with in the Farlap, and he came wide, wanted to lay into a few things wrong. D-Day for him. For third, 3 Sovereign Nation coming out of the Australian Guineas, and for fourth, the Kiwi Visitor, number 10, Predator, 7, 6, 3, 10.
I'm with Sovereign Nation. I just think he's looking for the 2,000 metres, and he was always going to be an Australian Derby candidate, and I think he'll just really peak here and be ready for next week and with a really nice Derby trial. His Guineas run was good back in the field, got home okay, and that that back along the inside did have a bit of an impeded run, and the start before in the CS Hayes, it did find the line nicely behind Tavachi and Palantino. So it got Sovereign Nation on top from Old North, who I thought was a good thing beaten last time in the Farlap. No doubt in my mind it can turn the tables on Hattori Hanzo and Man the Choice. Third, number 9, Multifacets. Does look the value run around about $18. It's a lightly raced staying type from the Chris Wallace stable, who might be a bit shorter from a Derby perspective after Saturday. And for fourth, number 1, Hattori Hanzo. 3, 7, 9, and 1.
Race 6 is the first of the Group 1s, the Vinery Stud Stakes. This is for the 3-year-old fillies over 2,000 metres. Really good clash. Probably the race of the day for mine, just because there's quite a few chances, and we've got a good Kiwi flavour to the race with Valley Girl and Capella both coming out of the New Zealand Derby, and a really good clash. I think there's sort of 7 or 8 fillies that, it wouldn't shock if they came out and won well. I ended up going 5 Risque, just banking on that Australian Guineas form. We saw it prove very strong in last week's Rosehill Guineas, of course, through Tarzino and Jamaica, who also goes around on Saturday, but I'm with 5 Risque to beat Jamaica. The best of the Kiwis, I went Capella, number 8, but little between her and Valley Girl. And for fourth, I threw in 7 Single Gaze, who has to run 2,000, but I thought she was strong enough over the mile at Kembla last time. So my number's up 5, 1, 8, 7.
Similar numbers, Risco on top from Jamaica. Just thought the Kevin Hayes win was outstanding. They ran along quite hard, and she was strong through the line at the end of 1,200 metres, and she was again quite good in the Australian Guineas. She endured a tough run, back wide, sustained an effort, hit the lead the 250, mowed down late by Tarzano and Palantino to run third. I thought she was entitled to run 8th or 9th given the run she had. She's a quality filly. 2,000 metres on that Guineas run won't be a problem. Got her on top from Jamaica, who was good last time in the Rose Hill Guineas. It sat on a steady speed and just got out sprinted late, but back against her own gender, should be suited. For third, number 9, Anasara, who I thought was probably the best of the runners at the Keith Nolan. It got back, it hit the line nicely. It's looking for the 2,000 metres, which it gets on Saturday. And that win back at Rose Hill 3 starts ago is hard to forget. It came from a hopeless position on the home turn and sprouted wings. She's obviously quite gifted. And for fourth, number 4, Onesta, who comes through that Keith Nolan. Probably hasn't hit the heights of that last campaign, but might be an improver at 2,000 metres on a slightly firmer surface. I've gone 5, 1, 9, and 4, but the chances certainly don't end there.
Race 7 is the second of the Group 1s, and the pick of the day, certainly on probably prestige and prize money, but a little bit of a funny race this year. I think the BMW I speak of over 2,400 metres. And, well, we've got an Australian Cup where it was run ridiculously slow. Do we put weight in that form? We have to, because a lot of the runners are coming out of it. And we've got the race being 1 week after the Randvet, which is unusual, usually 2 weeks. So that makes that race a little bit of a query as well. I'm just placing my faith in Mongolian Khan and Murray Baker to have him spot on. Obviously, we don't know if he's come through all his troubles that he had back in the spring, but... His best performances for mine have been at 2,400. He's won 2 derbies, a Caulfield Cup. So I think if you've been with him, I actually haven't tipped him to win either start this prep. But I think, you know, if you're a fan of the horse, you've got to give him his chance on Saturday. So I'm with him to beat 1 hour Ivanhoe. He's the one I want to be on out of the Australian Cup. 7 preferment in for third, and 2 who shot the barman for fourth. But a really tricky race. You could probably make a case for just about all of them.
Yeah, well, I'm with El Ivanhoe. I've made him my best of the day. So it might be the slight opposite there. I just think this campaign, his form has been very, very good. He was horribly unlucky in the Peter Young, as we all saw, back towards the inside. And again, drew barrier 1. He raced a touch keen. Ben Mellum took a hold, and it turned into a sit sprint. He dashed home as well as anything else in the race, preferment and Rising Romance included. And he ran home in 5th position. I think 2,400, perhaps slightly more forgiving surface than what he copped at Flemington last time at 2,000. I think at 24 on a slightly softer surface, he can get the job done with a nice run. So got him ahead of 7 preferment, who's coming off that good last start win in the Australian Cup via the Stewards' Room. 9 Rising Romance. She's done nothing wrong this campaign, and I think they're the main three. And then for fourth, number 10, Montaigne, the 3-year-old against the older opposition. A bit of an X factor. He's awfully talented. Just don't know how we'll handle the backup in the Rose Hill Guineas. And you never know, he might actually go into the Derby next week as well. Risking Mongolian Khan, I think El Moonquith is going to run well with a view to the Sydney Cup. And I'd prefer Arab Dawn at a handicap rather than Wake for Age. But 2,400 metres is certainly his pet distance. I've gone 1, my best bet, from 7, 9 and 10.
Race 8 is the Emancipation Stakes Group 2 race for the mares. And a tricky event. There's a few I've sort of been sucked into in this race that I'm sort of sticking with. But, you know, Solicit's going to be hard to beat. I actually left her out of my 4, but it's just a race on. You know, I'm not overly keen on. I went for 8, Zanbar. I thought her 2 runs back have been really good. Bit of giving the track helps. 4, Battleweir, very hard to beat. Obviously against the older mares, and you know, she's weighted right up, only getting a kilo off Solicit, but you know, I threw her in. Lady Lafay for third, I thought she had a bit of a chance. She was really good first up against the boys, and 7, Slightly Sweet, will be running on as she does. But 8, 4, 10, 7, Solicit in my quaddie, and that'll probably do.
Yeah, well, tricky race, not very keen. I settled on Battleweir. Just thought the CUNY win was good. It had a soft run. It drew barrier 2. It stalked the speed. It pounced late. Don't doubt Mum, it probably would have beaten Battleweir if it drew a barrier. But that's no knock on Battleweir. It got the job done. It's capable at 1,600. I just worry if she's too closely weighted to some older opposition with 56. But she's drawn to get the right run again. I certainly wouldn't be putting the house on Batawea, but I've got it on top from two Solicit who will run along and string them out, and Batawea will probably just settle just off and get the last shot. Third, number 9, Telepathic, who stepped slow and cost herself any chance of winning the Cornwall. She might just be the value runner at 10-1. And fourth, number 3, Pasadena Girl, was backed confidently in the CUNY and lost the rider at the start. Stood at the gates, I should say. But the Angus Armanasco run before that was good. Now in the care of David Hayes and Tom Dabnik, it's around about $13 or $14, which I think is over the odds. I've gone 4-2-9 and 3 in race 8.
And race 9, gee, this is a tricky race. Doncaster Prelude. Chris Waller has 7, so that always tells you that it's going to be tricky. I went for one of his, Saddler's Lake. I thought off a quick backup. Pierre Blinkers went on first time last week and they seemed to work pretty well. He ran a good race, awful barrier, but I think he can back up well to beat one Excess Knowledge, likely favourite, hard to beat. 14 Cosmic Cubes, a progressive sort of a horse. He was a good win first up at Canberra. And Rock Sturdy was just horrible last start. He was my best bet coming off a fresh up run, but he can be a bit like that. I'll give him another chance, certainly, going in my quaddies and all your bets like that. But tricky race, 8-1, 14-3 for me.
I've gone with 11 Dances on Stars. I liked his Melbourne runs in the Chester Manifold and the Carline Cup behind. In races that were on pace dominated, he found the line well twice, and then his Ajax run was excellent behind it somewhat. He reeled off the quickest last 600 of the day. He got back from the wide barrier, a hopeless position on the home turn, and he just sizzled home behind it somewhat and Excess Knowledge. I think if he reproduces that run, he'll be right in the finish. From 9, Havana Cooler, who was awfully unlucky first up last campaign. 1500 might just be a touch short of his best, but he's waited to be in the finish once again, and the latest trial was okay. For third, number 1, Excess Knowledge, who covered plenty of extra ground but had a nice trail into the race and finished off nicely in the Ajax. And fourth, number 5, Amavasio, is fitter for those two runs this campaign and should be starting the peak but has drawn the car park. The other horse is worth mentioning. It'd be curious to see Shoreham, what sort of performance we see first up. He's a dual 1400 metre winner, so he might produce a good run out of the box. Magic Cool first up for Chris Waller. His trials have been okay. Would want to see a betting lead before I back Magic Cool, though. And the other interesting runner that's first up is Hawkspur. I thought his trials were actually better than your Dower 2,2400 metre plotting type, and he might be just ready to pull one out of the box. It's just that sort of race. It's going to be tricky. 11, 9, 1 and 5.
All right, best and value time. My best is entirely Platinum, as I said, never really been one of my horses, but I just think he's really well placed on Saturday, so made him my best. And my value, well, is the only race we haven't spoken about, and it's in the first, number 6, Dragon Flyer. He's only won 3 from 27, but runner-up 10 times. He's going well this prep. Should have finished really close to High Midnight last start. He was chopped out for a run. Third up, just looks perfectly placed to run well, around $7 or $8. Best in value for you, Carl?
Our Ivanhoe's the best, and the value bet's in the last Dances on Stars.
All right, racing in Melbourne on Saturday is at Caulfield. We have black type action there as well with a pair of Group 3 races. The first of those is the Victoria Handicap, race 7, over 1,400 metres. And I went for number 9, Coronation Shallon. Had a bit of a setback before that first up run. Brett Scott thought she'd run well, but probably need it. She did run well, drawn well here. I think she can measure up against the boys in this sort of class. To beat 1, Blackheart Bart was super in the Newmarket. Going to be hard to beat. 4, Red Bomber and 10, Jamando.
Gone with 6 Trident Tide. I still don't think the handicap has got to this horse. I thought the win last time over the Yesterday Songs was quite good, sat on the speed and toughed it out nicely. I've got it ahead of number 11 Yesterday Songs, who continues to work well at home and might be just running his way into form. He has been placed twice at Caulfield, and he was quite unlucky over 1200 one day in the Regal Roller. He'll get back and be hitting the line hard. For third, number 9, Coronation Shallon, and fourth, number 4, Red Bomber.
Race 8 is the Easter Cup, over 2,000 metres at Group 3 level, and Awesome Rock, you would think, is going to start a pretty warm favourite. Last start, Australian Cup winner, of course, demoted in the stewards' room to second, but you'd want to be on an Australian Cup winner in this sort of field, wouldn't you, Carl? He's very short. Hard to tip him. Certainly, probably won't be backing him, but hard to tip against. One on top from 5 Gardini, who's also in then Sydney, 3 Ladari and 6 Puccini, but it's really awesome rock or anything.
They're a field of misfits. I mean that in the nicest way possible. Awesome rock, I can't have at the price. But who's going to beat him?
That's the thing. Forgetting price, I mean, you tip him or you take the field in the quaddie, don't you?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with Extra Zero, the other Australian Cup runner-up in the field. And I thought his Australian Cup run was fine. I mean, it was just a nice effort. He hit the line as well as anything else. I mean, if you renamed Extra Zero Preferment or Al Ivanhoe, you'd say, well, the run was good. But it's just that he's a 9-year-old and we know what sort of money-munching tease Extra Zero can be, that we kind of look beyond him. But his form this campaign is improved. The Victoria Cup run was also good against the tempo. He was the best of the run on horses there. I've got him on top from 5 Guardini, who runs in Sydney perhaps, so might line up here. 6 Puccini I've got in, should get a nice run, looking for the improvement now that it gets up in trip. And then I've got in number 1 Awesome Rock. Ladari, I thought it didn't get the best run in transit with 61 kilos in Adelaide last time and could be a possible improver, but terrible race.
Alright, terrible race. Best and value, my best, I believe She's Mr. Vine's going to go to Warwick Farm Monday, so she would have been my best in race 5, but I'm pretty sure she's going to Warwick Farm Monday, so therefore my best would be Skullduggery in the last. I like this horse. His 2 runs over the mile this prep have been really good finding the line. I think he's crying out for 2,000. I'm going to make him my best, and my value will be Coronation Shellam. And just a couple of others to look out for. I liked Serenade. I think she was going to be... She is ready to run a really good race fresh, but it's got to take on Petite Falou in race 4, so maybe play Quinella's there. And in the first race, Preemptive, who I did give a bit of a chance to last week. Of course, he played up, and Jai McNeil suffered a terrible leg injury out of that. I've got to have something on him, seeing he's lining up here. And the first start of Palmer Morenti. Jump outs have been all right, and did speak to Andrew Noblet last week, and he gave a reasonably bit of a push for Palmer Morenti. So have a look at a couple of roughies in that first race.
My best would be a Tithe and Tithe in the Victoria Handicap. I just think he's too well weighted, and Mark Zara knows the horse and he'll give him every chance. Value bet would be Nimini Pimini in the fifth race, race 5, number 9. It's been jumping out well. It's been worked for a little while. First up record's quite good. We'll get back, neither now to luck, but I think she's a little bit underrated, this mare. And for a 5-year-old, she's quite lightly raced. 13 starts for 2 wins. She's run some really nice races, though, behind the likes of Jessie Bell and Amicus, and I think they'll hold her in good stead in the weekend on the minimum weight.
Oakbank, Saturday, of course, their big 2-day carnival, traditional Easter meetings. No New Zealand horses running at the meeting. That's surely not a good sign for Oakbank. Carl, what have we come up with? We do have a stakes race. Of course, we've got the Bondusa race 7. And the Oakbank Stakes, formerly known as the Railway Stakes, which is race 6 for the sprinters. Take us through the features, Carl, and what was your best and value for the card?
No Kiwi horses, so you won't be watching?
Well, no, put that aside, though. You've got to admit, that is pretty disappointing.
Well, what's the reason behind it?
I don't know. New Zealand jumps racing hasn't really... Well, their season hasn't started over in New Zealand, so I guess that makes things tough. But and Easter is a bit earlier this year, so...
They usually have those flat 2,900-metre high weights, and then they come into our season like that.
Yeah, so the seasons probably haven't matched up, and with Easter being a bit early, that's probably the reason. But it does reduce the interest somewhat.
Yeah. Well, I've gone with Scratchy Lass in the Oakbank Stakes, race 6, number 7. Lightly raced 4-year-old mare, 9 starts, 5 wins. She's got a great strike rate, and she was just too tough for them last time at Morphville, finishing over the top of sat outside them and just too strong. So the run at Flemington, even behind the Stabenow, was quite good, and then after that Miss Seaton Sands, that fourth there was quite good. So Scratchy Lass, I think, picks herself from 3 Iconic, 2 Hussein Eagle and 1 Raziz. Scratchy Lass is my best bet of the day. I've gone with GC Gazza in the Vondusa race 7. He's a short course specialist. He wouldn't want anything further than 3,200. If he's going to win a feature jumps race, this is going to be it. Nice up and fit, ready to go, 3,200. If he doesn't win on Saturday, he'll never win a good feature. And Flow Meter, race 8, number 3, is my value selection. It was a good last start, second at Morpheville Parks behind Ferrari Star. So putting my faith in John Hickman having a good day on Saturday.
All right, well, I'll give out Counter Spin in the last. He was my best bet for Adelaide Cup Day in the winning post, and I thought he ran a really good race. He drew a bit awkwardly. Ryan Hurdle rode him. He did it a little bit tough, sort of made a decent run. I thought he held his ground pretty well to the line third up. Drops a little bit in weight. I think he'll be ready, so we can follow up on Counter Spin. Doomben racing on Saturday. No black type racing, so straight into the best in value. My best is Oradonna. She's won 3 on the trot at the Sunshine Coast. She now comes to Doomben on a Saturday. It's a bit tougher, but she's a pretty progressive mare. I think she can win again. And my value was Promass, race 6, number 10. Liked her at the Gold Coast last start. She just got too far back. Hit the line well for 4th. I think we can follow up, with her. She's only had the 3 runs for Liam Birchley and seems to be coming along well. We do have racing at Ascot on Saturday. We do have some black type racing there. We have the Rack and Tour Stakes for the 3-year-olds. Race 4 and the very promising Lightning in My Veins from the Fred Kersley yard. Very keen to see him return. I've tipped him to beat 2 Showy Chloe, 4 Push and Shapes and 5 All G. And the Grandstand Cup, race 5 for the milers. A few sprinters trying to step up to the mile though. And a couple of stayers in the race. I've gone for number 3, Dreamlifter, to beat 7, Carry the Nation, 5, Battle Hero, and 1, Respondent. My best for Ascot was Born Supremacy, race 6, number 10, and my value was Red Paddy, race 7, number 5. That just about takes out No New Zealand action on the podcast this week. Of course, the winning post coming out a day earlier. We didn't include the fields in it this week with the earlier deadline, but we do have racing, of course, on the Monday, where we race at Ladbrokes Park Sandown. We also race at Warwick Farm and at Oakbank. And Carl, Great Eastern, do we have a winner? Obviously, a few of them go around on the Saturday. It's a bit hard to tip on the Monday, but was there something there that you like?
Manitone at this stage. Manitone doesn't run on the Saturday and goes straight into the Great Eastern. Just think Manitone's a quality jumper, and I think that he'll go forward and handle those hedge fences quite well. I remember he went to South Australia and jumped at Mount Gambier one day, and he didn't handle the blue top jumps quite well, and I think the natural setting of Oakbank and the 3 laps of the circuit up and down hills, I don't think they'll phase him at all, and he just might be the fresh horse, if you could say that, in the 5,000 metre steeplechase.
All right, well, hopefully we've found you some winners over the big long Easter weekend. Don't forget, as I said earlier, get out and grab your winning post. They should be in all news agencies as we speak. Before we go, Carl, we better get a $20 bet. I'm going to get us a bank for the weekend. Thursday night, race 4, number 2, Moonee Valley. Jackie's Joy, you were keen on her too. I'm keen on her. You can still get $5 or $6, so load up. And we'll have plenty of cash for the weekend, and we'll be throwing that cash the way of...
Oh, good one. Our Ivanhoe in the BMW, why not?
All right, which is
race 7, number 1.
All right, listeners, there you go. Have a safe long weekend. Hopefully you can find a few winners along the way. We will be back next week with the preview podcast.